Our speaker today is Dr. Andy Thacker. Andy Thacker is an assistant professor at Dallas Theological Seminary in the Biblical Counseling Department. Dr. Thacker maintains a small private practice where she works with kids, teens, and families as her area of expertise. Andy completed her training with a master's degree in counseling from DTS and a PhD in counselor education and supervision from the University of North Texas. She is a licensed professional counselor and a board-approved supervisor in the state of Texas. She has been married to Chad, who sits right here. He is part of the cheering section today. Chad, as always, welcome. Chad's also a student here, so we're clapping for Chad the student. But today he is husband, isn't that right? And glad to have you here. And they have three wonderful children, Emerson, Will, and Webb. So would you please join me in welcoming today to chapel Dr. Andy Thacker.
Well, welcome to campus. So we are so glad you guys are here with us. And I was thinking about you guys. I was not originally slated to be here today. Through a weird series of events, not that weird, I got COVID the day that I was supposed to be here. And then we had ice snowmageddon. And so it just worked out that I got to be here with you guys. And I was thinking about having prospective students here. I was thinking about my time as a student, and I didn't know what I was going to get when I came to DTS. I mean, I knew I'd get a good education, but I found a family here. And so this is a sweet, sweet place. And if this is where God calls you, there's no better place to be. So we would love to have you here. And it's just a sweet place. And for those of you that are currently students, I'm so grateful you're here because that means I get to be here. So thanks for being here. It's really important that you're here. And it's not lost on me how much work goes into being a student. I haven't forgotten what it's like to be a graduate student. It is seared into my body, kind of like trauma, but in a good way. It's like good trauma, whatever that means. And then I live with a seminary student, so I get to see in real time, and I'm constantly reminded of the sacrifices you make. So we're so glad you're here. So wow, what a year. We are a few weeks away from hitting that one-year mark where the United States locked down. And we, just like Luke said, many of us have great things to celebrate and to be grateful for, but many of us are sorrowful too because we've lost a lot. And so as I reflect on that, I'm reminded that even in our loss, and even in the dumpster fire that has been 2020 and now 2021, God takes hard things and he makes beautiful things out of them. And so one of the beautiful things that came out of this really mess of a season for our family is it forced us to stop. It was like hitting a brick wall last March. In some ways, we also became full-time homeschooling parents, which we have confirmed that will never be a path we can ever take. If we want our children to actually be contributing members of the society and know how to read or do anything. So within the first week, I was like, we will not be doing any of these subjects, kids, because they're not requiring those, and I didn't train for those. So we immediately eliminated a lot of stuff. But it stopped all of our activities, and it stopped all of our ministry work. We had been very active for a long time in our church and in our community, and everything just shut down. And it paused us. And what it did was probably the greatest mercy we could receive, because we couldn't stop the train we were on. And that was a train of being way overcommitted and being way too overrun. And I'm so grateful that God stopped that. So if you're here and if you're drawn to graduate studies, which you're here, so you probably are, you have a high capacity. That's just who you are. And just because you have that high capacity doesn't mean that you're always meant to use all of it all the time. I didn't catch on to that till recently, even though the Lord's been telling me that for a while. So that's what I'm going to share with you guys today, is how important it is that you take care of yourself, no matter what stage of life that you're in, but especially as you're preparing for whatever the next phase of your ministry world looks like. So I want to start by laying some groundwork for you. I love teaching about the brain. If you have a class with me, I'm going to subject you to the brain ad nauseum. I love it. And some of you just checked out and you're like, and Instagram it is today. It's okay. Chad's Instagramming my whole talk. It's fine. I don't think we're on Instagram. Okay, no. Okay. I'm not good at social media. So let's talk about the brain a little bit. When you're born and when a baby is born, you come into the world with about 100 billion brain cells or neurons, okay? We're going to use that term interchangeably, neurons and brain cells. And what happens is those neurons, they talk to each other. And when they talk to each other, sometimes we call it they fire. And when they fire and they're talking to each other, they make these special connections. And the more you have a certain experience, a repeated experience in the same way, the more likely you are to have that experience again. And so brain cells follow this axiom called Hebb's axiom. And Hebb's axiom says neurons that fire together are statistically more likely to wire together. So it's the basic understanding of why people say it takes 21 days to make a habit, which that's true for some habits. Like I could definitely make a habit out of eating ice cream after 21 days. It really wouldn't take that long, actually. But working out regularly, it's going to take me about 6 to 10 years. Hypothetically. But your brain cells follow that principle. So every time you do something, your brain cells talk to other brain cells. Every time you have an experience, you cannot have an experience without an equal brain cell firing pattern occurring. And the interesting thing is those brain cells are going to start firing in the third trimester of gestation. So when a baby is still in its mom's tummy, starting at the third trimester, those brain cells are going to start talking to each other and gathering up these experiences. So I want you to remember that. Neurons that fire together, wire together. So the more you do something in a repeated way, the more likely you are to continue to be able to do that. And what happens is over time, these neurons, as they fire in your brain, they create these ruts. It's kind of like if you were going to go walking through the forest, which that obviously would mean you're not in Dallas, because we don't have forest here. But if you were going to walk through the forest, wherever that may be, if you followed the same path for 100 days, you would make a well-worn path. That's what brain cells do. The more they fire in the same pattern, and the more you have the same repeated experience, the more it's going to make these ruts in your brain, and it's going to make it more likely that you can have the same experience in the future. Now, the brain is values neutral, though. So what that means is the brain is not evaluating, oh, that's not a good idea to spend 10 hours a day on Netflix. It's just so I've heard. So we're not going to do that. We're going to pray for a little bit, and we're going to read the Bible, and then we're going to exercise, and we're going to do things that are healthy. The brain doesn't care. It's values neutral. So whatever you do, your brain will be shaped by what you're doing, and vice versa. Okay? So you're creating these ruts. You're creating these patterns with everything you do. Those of you who are prospective students, if you choose to come here, there will be a point at which you feel like your car drives you to DTS. Because you've driven here so often that those brain cells and those ruts are so deep that sometimes you get here and you're like, how'd I get here? I know I drove. Because those brain cells are just firing on the same patterns. Okay? So this is important because everything you do makes a pattern in your life and in your brain, and it makes it more likely that you will repeat that pattern. So why this is important when we talk about self-care is because the best time to always start self-care is right now. Because the more you do it, the more likely you are to continue to do it. The less you do it, the less likely you are to do it. Okay? So research shows us when we look at lifespan development that the patterns you have at 30 are more than likely the patterns you might have at 70. So some of you are like, okay, sweet, I'm 25, I got 5 more years to nail this down. Some of you are like, oh dear, not 30 anymore. The good news is the brain is always plastic. And what we know about that is it's constantly able to be changed. Now, there are seasons of time that are way more plastic than others. So I decided recently that I needed to stretch more because I've developed the ability to pull a muscle just getting in and out of the car. It's like, that's super. And so I was stretching by myself because I feel stupid doing it. And my four-year-old comes in. He was like, oh, I can do that. And like immediately did the splits. I was like, okay, great. Go play. So kids are just way more plastic. Their bodies are more plastic than ours are. Their brains are more plastic, and that's fine. Yours may not be as plastic as it used to be, but it's still plastic. So you can always turn your ship around. It just may take a little bit more time and a little more repeated action in the same way, but it's always possible to make changes. If you can fog a mirror, you can be different. Okay? And we've got lots of great studies that show up that are coming out that prove that. Okay? Another thing when we talk about your brain cells and how your brain is shaped, culture and your environment shapes you. James K.A. Smith has written a lot of great stuff on this as it pertains to liturgy and how the practices that you have spiritually shape who you are, but also the world that you're immersed in. So one thing about our world, unfortunately, is we don't really value self-care. We don't value putting up boundaries and safeguards for ourselves. So we even turn this into like a backhanded good thing. So if you go on an interview, I'm about to prove that I'll never work for the placement office right here. If you go on an interview, you're always instructed when they say, you know, what's your greatest weakness? They're like, we'll turn that into a positive. So you're like, I just work so hard. I am committed. I will not quit until the job is done. What you're really saying is I'm committed to burnout and I'm going to run up your insurance premiums because I'm not going to take good care of my body. Okay. So our world doesn't value that. We don't value saying no and saying, I would love to do that, but I just can't, okay? So it's going to be kind of challenging because our world is not going to always be okay with you saying, that's a limit for me, okay? Eugene Peterson said, busyness is an illness of the spirit. Busyness is an illness of the spirit. Man, that cuts deep. And when we look at scripture, you don't have to read very far into scripture. And, you know, it's the new year kind of still. And most everybody has started their 1 year Bible reading plan, but you're probably in Leviticus and Exodus, so everybody's dropped out. But I know you got to Genesis 2, probably. In the first couple chapters of Genesis, God lays a pattern almost immediately for us to pay attention to. On the seventh day, he rested. Now, it's not like God, an infinite creator, needed to take a break. It's like, ooh, that was a lot. The humans really did me in. I got to put my feet up. I need a minute and a latte. No, but he was creating a pattern for us to pay attention to. And if you go on and read through the Old Testament and then on into the New Testament, there are patterns and rhythms for stopping and for resting. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament is when the storm is raging and the disciples are freaking out and Jesus is resting and napping. They're like, this is not the time to sleep. And they wake him up. They're like, what are you doing? We're about to die. And he gets up and he quiets the storm. We see in that Jesus, who was fully God and fully man, he slept. He took time away to be by himself. And he didn't heal everyone who he encountered. Nor did he heal everybody that was in the land during that time. So remember that, because if an infinite God didn't do everything, certainly we're not called to do everything. Yeah. One of my greatest joys here at the seminary is getting to walk beside students. I love getting coffee, going on walks, sitting with you guys in my office. And I also participate in this leadership experience called LEAD. And it's for people that are out in ministry already and they're kind of reevaluating things, how things are going and what they're going to do going forward. And I have never, ever told a student or a LEAD participant, you know what? I just think you need to add more to your plate. You know, you're just kind of lazy. Like, I really need you to try harder. Let's get you involved in more. Come on, let's beef up your resume. I have never had to say that. What I say on repeat is, I think we really need to look at how you're doing and how you're taking care of your soul. Because I think you're on a dangerous pathway to destruction. And it's almost like they need permission for someone to say, it's okay to pare back things. It's okay not to use as many hours in the week that you've been given, it's okay to stop. Wise leaders adopt the oxygen mask principle. And that principle, I speak a lot to parents, and that principle, if you've flown recently, they say, that'd be a little scary. Sorry, it's a Freudian slip. If we lose cabin pressure, those thingies, I can't remember what they're called, the oxygen masks, are going to fly from the ceiling, and don't freak out, just put one on. And if you're traveling with a kid, or like they say on Southwest, or someone who's acting like a kid, you need to put your oxygen mask on first and then assist the other people beside you. Because if you're not okay, nobody can be okay. Okay? If you're not okay as a leader, and it doesn't matter what context you're training for, if you are a Christ follower, you are in ministry. If you pastor a church, if you're a professional counselor, if you're a pastoral counselor, if you are teaching, whatever it is, if you're managing your home, if you sell insurance like my husband, you are in ministry, whatever that context is. And you are leading people. You have to take care of you before you can take care of them. And at the extreme, if you don't do this well, things go really bad, really fast. And you're going to get Facebooked and Twittered. Tweeted, whatever. People are going to make other people aware of when you fall hard. A lot of times people in leadership fall because they're not taking care of themselves. You got to take care of you. We also like to overfunction. So overfunctioning is at times when we take on more than is our role. It's more than our responsibility. And sometimes we overfunction because we want a felt sense that we're more important. Or we are important. God created us as meaning-making creatures. And so we want to make meaning out of our experiences. And we want to know that our time here is valuable. Your time on earth is valuable. And at the same time, God will still complete his purposes even if you're not here. If I die on the way home, which I hope that doesn't happen, if I die on the way home, the biblical counseling department will go right on. It will. And that's how it should be, because it's not Andy Thacker's department, it's God's department. And so we don't need to overfunction in a way where we forget that God is God and we are not. We also sometimes engage in what's called shadow comforts. So shadow comforts are things we think are really beneficial to us, but they're really life draining. So there's, if you come here, there's a great Target right over here. And you know, if you love Jesus, you love Target. Just kidding, sorry. That would not be the official statement of DTS. Okay, just put that asterisk there. But it's a great Target. So if you ever find me over there and I'm walking around and I have a basket full of things and some Cadbury bunny eggs, I am engaging in shadow comforts and I'm in a bad place. Because I'm doing something to try to self-care that's not going to give me any self-care at all. It's not going to be life-giving. And so you have to really engage with what gives you life, what cares for your soul, what takes good care of you. And sometimes that takes some time to figure that out. Also, sometimes we take days off, and on our days off, on our Sabbath, we answer emails or we do whatever. We don't really care for ourselves. If you care for yourself, do it well. Because remember, going back to the brain, everything you do creates a rut, and everything you do creates this opportunity that you will either be more likely to repeat the action or not likely to repeat the action. For every yes, there are a whole lot of no's. When we said yes to having children, I said no to ever wearing a two-piece swimsuit ever again. I also said no to rest in some ways for the first couple of years. We also said no to vacations for a while. Because you know, if you take your kids on with you somewhere, it's just a trip. It's not a vacation. You've just relocated your circus and then you don't have your resources. So you trip and then you vacation later, I think. So although we vacationed, well, you didn't. I went with you to take a class in DC and I vacationed and you learned. It's like, have a good day at school. I'm going to go sit in the quiet. But for every yes, there are 1,000 more no's. There are so many things that I could do. There are endless things that you can do. There's always someone else that needs your attention or could benefit from your presence. There's always another article to be written. There's always another sermon to be prepared for. There's always another policy to write. There's always going to be something there. But if you want to say yes and say yes well, you've got to say no. So in many ways, you guys being here, and if you choose to be here, your yes here, it hopefully gives you freedom to say no to all the other things that aren't going to fit. Now, there are some things that we can't say no to. I can't be like, I'm choosing to take a sabbatical from cooking and tuck-ins. My husband's like, you said no to cooking a long time ago. What are you talking about? It's a hypothetical. But there are things you can't say no to. But that's why you have to say no to other things, because you say yes to the things that are before you that you've already chosen. Less is more. Somewhere along the way in our culture, we've adopted the idea that if you do more for Jesus, then you're going to get more jewels in your crown, or you're getting extra heaven points. I don't know if that's like Bitcoin or what. So you don't get more. You don't have to do more to be okay with God. He loves you just the way you are. You are loved because of your being, not because of your doing. I think sometimes we hear voices in our head, not like audible voices. We hear voices that we ascribe to God that are not really God. We hear when we stumble, when we fall, when we don't do enough, when we don't live up to our expectations, we hear that voice of, what are you doing? Get up. So if you've watched a kid learn to walk, which if everything's going okay, they just kind of learn to walk eventually. And every time one of our kids has learned to walk, when they've stumbled and fallen, I haven't been like, we talked about this. One foot in front of the other. Steady yourself. Your head is monstrously big attached to your small body. Like, balance. That's not what you do as a parent. You're the parent on the side that's like, yes, you walked. I really think that we hear God a lot of times saying, we talked about this, do more. And really, he's the voice that's like, sweet one, we're okay no matter what you do. I love you no matter what. If we're constantly moving, we can't listen and hear. So one of the things when we talk about with kids, if you really want to give them, if you want them to hear you and to listen, you need to have them stop, and you need to put your hand somewhere on their body, on their shoulders. So I have one that moves literally constantly. And when I need to give him instructions, I'll bend down and I'll say, okay, buddy, give me your hands. And he's like, I'm like, your hands, those things? Yeah, okay, those. And I'll say, let me see your eyes. Show me your eyes, bud. And then I give him instructions. He has to stop so that he can truly listen and hear me. You have to stop to really listen and hear God. In 2019, we were running so hard and so fast that we couldn't listen or hear God. This year, someone asked me, as this has been a hard year for everybody, and we all have our different flavor of grief, someone asked me, you know, has your faith been challenged by what you guys have experienced as a family? And I said, you know, not in the sense that I question who God is, because having to stop gave me a chance to really hear him and to listen and to know that he is right there and he loves me. You have to stop to listen and to hear the Lord's voice. Finally, and I'll leave this with you guys, as a professional counselor, I know that anytime I'm evaluating someone or anytime I'm meeting with someone on a regular basis, I'm always paying attention to how they present. Do they look like they normally look? You know, if they normally have their hair fixed and done up, do they look like that? And I'm looking at their eyes and I'm looking at their body and I'm trying to evaluate how are they doing with sleep. Sleep is always the precursor to more important things that are coming that could be deadly in the extreme form or just really destructive in someone's life. Sleep changes are usually the precursor to a major depressive episode, a manic episode, a bout with anxiety. Sleep tells us a lot. And so I'm always monitoring someone's sleep. I think sleep also tells us whether or not we are submitting to the fact that we are humans and we are created limited. God has shaped into each one of us that every 24 hours we have to pause to sleep. And if you don't do that, and if you've had a season where you haven't been sleeping well or someone's been interrupting your sleep, you know that it only takes about 3 days before you can literally become psychotic and be seeing things that aren't present or hearing things that aren't present. Sleep is a major thing. It's also, if you ever look at how people torture prisoners, it's with lack of sleep. It's also pretty indicative of raising a newborn too. But anyhow, sleep is daily acknowledging and surrendering to the fact that you are not God and He is. Sleep is an embodied practice of acknowledging in a worshipful way that we are finite and we are in desperate need of an infinite creator. And sleep is a daily reminder that we can't do this on our own. And we have limits that have to be attended to. I've been a part of a 28-day day of prayer lament in February with an organization. And one of the leaders one day said on the call, she said, you know, Lord, you take our not enough and you make it more than enough. God always takes our not enough and makes it more than enough. You can lean into your finiteness and your limitedness and trust that God is going to take what you have to offer and He's going to do great, great things with it. You can trust that. So as we close, I want to pray for us. I want you guys to close your eyes and just place your hand over your heart. We can see in life where God has shaped rhythms into all of humanity and all of being. And one of the rhythms that He shaped into our life is your heartbeat. And it beats in such a way that it keeps pace and it follows a rhythm. When it gets out of rhythm, bad, bad things happen. Are you in rhythm with where God wants you to be? Are you honoring your humanity and your finiteness and fully leaning on Him, knowing that He will take your not enough and He will always make it more than enough? Father, You are good. And in Your kindness, You use us to do amazing things, and You don't have to. You don't need us. But You're gracious and You use us. Lord, I'm especially thankful that I get to be involved here and You take my humanity and my brokenness and You let me be a part of something that's incredibly amazing. Thank You for Your kindness and Your generosity. I pray for these prospective students that You would give them wisdom and clarity about where You want them. And then if it's here or somewhere else, that God, You would provide the way and the means and the courage to take those steps. And for those who are currently students, Lord, thank You for them. I pray for WEC Week and spring break, that it would be a time of rest and renewal, a time to remember how You made us, and You made us limited and in need of You and in need of rest. Maximize our time and increase our rest, Lord, so that we can love You and love others well. Father, we love You and we ask these things in the name of Your Son, Jesus. Amen.